Before I begin, I want to say again, I appreciate the good songs today and thankful for everybody that's here. And I want to tell Brother Buddy how much I love him and respect him as a man of God. I've enjoyed his preaching this week and this revival effort. And I just am so thankful for him. And I don't know, what the Lord has ahead. I mean, none of us, ever know that. I don't know what the Lord has ahead for Brother Buddy as far as his ministry. In my personal opinion, I believe he'd be a wonderful pastor. But that's between him and the Lord. And I'm just thankful for him as a man of God. And I love all my preacher brothers here at the church. And I want you to know that I try to pray for your ministry, that that the Lord would use you in whatever way that that he chooses. That's what's important, is what God wants to do with us. And so remember our preacher brothers in your prayers. I want to read some scripture this morning from the 38th Psalm. If you have your Bibles and would care to read along with me, please turn to Psalm 38. And I would like to begin reading with verse 15 and just finish the chapter there with reading through verse 22. Psalm 38, beginning with verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And I want to conclude my reading there, having read from the 38th Psalm, verses 15 through 22, and the end of that psalm for a scripture reading. My message today will be titled, This Question, Are You Really Sorry? I want you to notice that in the 18th verse of these verses that I read before you, the psalmist here said, For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Now, I want to go back and I want to remind all of us and reestablish, two very true and important biblical facts before us here today that we've heard about in the revival services this week, and that is that we are all guilty of sin. The Bible teaches us that verse after verse. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners by nature. We are born that way. We are born sinners. The Bible tells us that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And so we are sinners by nature. We have that sinful nature when we are born. Now, I want to say this, that Adam, when God created the first man, Adam, Adam had the choice of whether or not he would be a sinner. Because God created him holy. God created Adam perfect. In I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Lo, this only have I found, God hath made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions." So God created man perfect. I don't believe that God created anything with sin in it. Sin, was man's choice. Adam chose to become a sinner. But you and I, because of Adam's sin, wherefore as by one man, as by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. And so, when Adam sinned, when he willfully disobeyed God, not only did he become guilty of sin, but he plunged the human race into sin. He plunged his posterity into sin. All of his, all of us have descended from our first parents. And so you and I have never had the choice of whether or not we would be sinners. We are born that way. But we do have a choice in life about how we look at and how we handle sin. And so we are not, you and I, everybody that has been born into the world since the time of Adam's transgression, everybody that has been born into the world with that sinful nature. Now, Adam became a sinner because he sinned. He, as I said, he had the choice. He was not a sinner when God created him. He became a sinner because he sinned. But, truly, you and I are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born that way, and it's our nature, and because of that, we sin. And, there is a proper way for us to look at sin. The Bible tells us in the writings of John, in 1 John, the Bible tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But sin is not something to boast about. Sin is not something to aspire to. Sin is not something to be proud of. There are people, if you listen, and it seems to get worse all the time, but if you listen in the day that we live in, it seems like that people, Sister Moats last night mentioned television. Well, that's really becoming a big thing, I believe, that the devil uses to promote sin. It really is. I mean, things just get worse and worse all the time in that way. There are people that, there are songwriters that do that for a living. They write songs for a living, and they write songs that promote sin. They promote sin. I mean, there are people that, sing songs about the sin in their life boastfully and bragging about it. And so, that's not a good thing to do with sin, because sin is a killer. It's a killer. We are going to face natural death because of sin. We don't need to ever forget that. And there's two things in the scriptures, all throughout the Bible, you can never separate these two things. You cannot separate sin and death. You can't do it. That was the penalty that God said Adam would face if he did sin. If he disobeyed God, God told him, in the day that you eat from that tree that I commanded you not to, you shall surely die. So, our spiritual separation from God, when we're lost, we're dead in trespasses and sins, that's the result of sin. Our physical death, we will die physical death because of sin. And so we find here in the 38th Psalm that I read in verse 18 that the psalmist here, I believe, expressed the proper attitude towards sin. And that was, he said, I will be sorry for my sin. I will be sorry for my sin. I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Now, I'm glad that God does this. I'm thankful that he does this through the work of the Holy Spirit, but God convicts people of their sin. When, when we are in our youth, in infancy, and for a few years afterwards, when we are in that state of innocence, before that God calls us to account, and there is that time with us when we're very little, when we're not accountable for sin, but usually before anybody gets very old, God calls them to account for their sins, and that's conviction. When God makes it known to us that we are lost and convinces us that we are sinners before him. And what a person does with that after that time is up to them, and their attitude towards sin from that day forward is going to make the difference of whether or not that person gets saved. If you are happy that you're a sinner, then you're never going to come to God. But if you are properly concerned about the fact that you're a sinner, now, you may disagree with that, but it seems to me that there are people in the world that are glad to be sinners. It seems to me that there are people in the world that are happy living in their sins. They're happy with the evil ways that they have chosen, and it seems to me that many people don't care to change. They would rather just continue on in their sin. But I'm thankful that God convicted me of the fact that I was a sinner. And I'm thankful that in my heart that I felt bad because of that. That I, that it bothered me that I was a sinner. I wanted to share this today. I had this very much up on my mind and my thoughts when I was studying this, and I wanted to share this morning about something that I heard last night. I don't know if it affected you the same way that it did me, but I want to speak for just a moment about Sister Hannah's testimony last night. One of our members, one of our young church members, a young lady who's still in her teenage years, one of our teenage church members stood here last night and she wept before this congregation, stood right up front here and testified and wept before this congregation and confessed this, that she had chosen to miss one of the revival services, and said that when she did that, that it made her feel guilty. That she felt guilty about that. She openly, with tears running down her face, she openly confessed that before us, that it put guilt in her that she was not here in the service, that she was not here to work and to pray for the lost. And I'll tell you what, when she was saying that, and when I left here last night, and when I woke up this morning, that was on my mind, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. I wish every church member had that type of attitude about their service to God. Listen, if we choose to lay out on the Lord, if we choose not to do the things that God tells us to do, it ought to make us feel guilty. It ought to make us feel bad. David here was expressing a great guilt in this. And we find him doing the same thing in the 51st Psalm, rather. And we know that David became guilty of some horrible acts of sin. I mean, he really did. He just did some hideous things. It started, it seems, with his desire for Bathsheba when he saw her in a way that he, you know, never should have. But when he saw her bathing and he wanted to have that woman and he lusted after her and he had her brought unto him and he committed adultery with her, and then it just began to, you know, have the snowball effect, and he just committed sin after sin trying to cover that up. And we have an account in the 51st Psalm, I believe, about the way that David began to feel about the things that he had done. He began to have a great load of guilt and conviction and condemnation over the things that he had done. And he expressed that in that psalm. And in Psalm 51 verse 3, David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And I pray that if you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God, that your sin is very much before you today, and that you realize the awful condition that you're in. Let me tell you something. It's bad to be lost and without the Lord. It's a horrible condition to be in. And I'll tell you what, everybody, I know everybody doesn't, but I know that everybody should. Listen, from the very onset of that, the very time in a person's life when God, by His Spirit, when God convicts them, and makes a person know that they're lost and separated from God, I'm telling you, right at that moment, they ought to flee to God and repent of their sins and place their trust in God to be saved. I want you to know something today. If you're lost here, you're a sinner before God. You're a sinner. You have offended God Almighty. That's not a pleasant thought. It shouldn't be anyway, that you have offended your Creator. Listen to what the first two verses of Isaiah 59 says. This tells us, you know, something awful about sin. Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, listen, when I spoke earlier about Adam, when Adam chose by his own voluntary will, his own voluntary disobedience, when he chose to disobey God, he put a separation between him and God that had not been there before. It was different then. He was then out of fellowship with God. He was separated from God. And that's what happens to all of us when that time in our life comes, when God makes it known to us that we are sinners, when God calls us to account for our sins, then we are separated from Him. And listen, the only way from that time on, the only way, I want you to notice what Isaiah said here. It makes it sound like perhaps that it's hopeless, but thank God it's not hopeless. But he said, "Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And I'm telling you that once that we have been brought to the knowledge of sin, once that we have been convicted and God has made it known to us that we are sinners, the only way that he will hear us is through the mediator that's between God and men. And that's Jesus. If it were not for that intercessor, if it were not for that mediator, God would not hear us at all. Because we're sinners and he's a holy God. And he, God, it was necessary for him to come into the world and live as a man to humble himself and live as a man and take our sins upon him and die on the cross of Calvary to make an atonement for our sins, that there might be one between God and us to intercede for us. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. He is at the right hand of God making intercession for our prayers. And thank God that there is one mediator between us and God, because if there were not, we'd have no access to a holy God. He just wouldn't hear us. But Jesus intercedes for us. Are you really sorry? I wonder sometimes when we confess things, even, are we really sorry for our sins? I wonder sometimes, as children of God, are we really sorry for our sins? You know, we may be sorry that we got caught. We may just be sorry because somebody else knows it. You know, the Bible teaches me that Judas was sorry for his betrayal of Christ. He was. I'll share that with you in Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. This is what the Bible says. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now listen, I believe that Judas had some remorse about what he had done. I believe that he had remorse about the fact that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't seem to bother him too much. I don't know what it was that he was thinking before. Perhaps when he was betraying the Lord for just a little bit of silver, perhaps he was thinking, well, you know, the Lord's a miracle worker. He'll deliver himself. They won't harm him or anything anyway. I'll get some money and he'll get out of this anyway. I'm not sure what Judas was thinking, but I do know this, that the Bible tells me that when he saw that the Lord was condemned, that it began to bother him. He began to have some regret and some remorse about what he had done. But I want you to notice something about Judas. The Bible said that he repented himself because of what he had done. But when it began to bother him, he didn't run to Jesus, did he? He didn't run to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. He just wanted to clear his conscience some. He just wanted to go. What he did was he went to men. And listen, if you're lost today, if you're in your sin today, there's not a man on earth that can help you. There's not a preacher on earth that can help you. There's not a church on earth that can help you. Judas went to these men and he just threw that money down and he said, I'm sorry for what I've done. And they said, well, that don't mean a thing to us. You know, what does that to us? You know, Judas was just wanting to clear his conscience, evidently. And so when that didn't work, he just went and hung himself. If he would have went to Jesus, the Lord would have forgiven him. But he didn't do it, did he? He didn't do it. I want you to think about, I want to share some scripture with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 7 about what we really need to do with sin. Are you sorry? Are you really sorry? I'm going to tell you something. You know, you may have some remorse about something in your life, but remorse is not repentance. It's not. In the 9th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, well, let's look at verse 8. Paul wrote and said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry. Now, you know, we read in that 38th Psalm that David said, I'll be sorry for my sins. But, you know, was he sorrowful enough? And that's the question. When a person says, well, I'm sorry for my sins. Well, are you really sorry? That's my question to you today. Are you truly sorry? Because Paul said here in writing to the Corinthians, I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. You may be sorry, as I said a moment ago, you may be sorry for something that you've done, but it could be that the reason for your sorrow is because somebody found you out. Somebody knows what it was that you done. Or you may just be sorry because whatever it was that you have done is kind of bothering you, is kind of messing with your mind, and you may be sorry for it because you want some relief. You know, you just want to, as I said, you just want to clear the guilt and clear your conscience. But I'm telling you that when we are sorry for our sins, if we're really sorry, we sorrow all the way to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not sorry or sorrowful, but godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Well, what is this? What is godly sorrow? What is this sorrow that works repentance unto salvation? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not what Judas had. It's not when you're sorry about something before men, or it's not when you're sorry about something before yourself, but it's when you are truly sorrowful, when you know, godly sorrow has truly set up in your heart. It's that makes you sorrowful, that you have wounded the heart of a holy and a loving God, that you have offended not man, but that you have offended God. And listen, I want you to know something today, that in your sin of unbelief, there's a separation between you and God. There's a lack of relationship because of that. There's a lack of fellowship because of that. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen, if you're lost, you don't belong to God. Not spiritually, you don't. You are not his child. You're a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil. And you're not going to repent until godly sorrow works repentance in your heart. Listen, if you don't repent of your sins, you're not going to be saved. Now those that are here today that are saved, they know exactly what this means. We sorrowed after a godly sort. We knew. Did God not bring you to the realization of what you had done? Did God not bring you to the realization of what you really were? That you were a sinner before Him, that you had offended Him, that you were not worthy of anything, that you were not worthy of any blessing that God would bestow upon you, that you are not worthy of salvation because you were a sinner, lost and separated from God. Thank God for His grace, because if it wasn't for His grace, we'd never have part with Him. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd never be able to come to Him. He that believeth, John chapter 3, he that believeth is not condemned. he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? How serious is God about the sin of unbelief? He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You need to be sorry, truly penitent, truly sorry for your sins. Brother Buddy and myself, we've tried this week throughout this revival effort to preach the gospel to you. The church here at Fairview Memorial has met here and people have testified, and we've had the lights burning and we've had the building open and we've had services going on trying to create an atmosphere, you know, for you to hear the gospel and turn to the Lord and seek him for salvation. But I want you to know, it's not us. It's not us that you need forgiveness from. It's not us that you have offended. It's God. It's God. You stand guilty before God. We can't forgive you. Brother Buddy mentioned a couple of times this week, I believe it was, he said, if he could save you, he would, but we can't. We can't do it. You need forgiveness because you're a sinner. You need forgiveness because you're in the sin of unbelief. You need forgiveness that can only come from God. You need to come before the Lord and repent of your sins. Repent of the fact that you are a sinner. Repent of that sin of unbelief that separates you from God. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when a person really sorrows after a godly sort, they get saved. They get saved. Godly sorrow works repentance. And repentance gives life. Repentance gives life. Listen, friend, it's a work of the heart. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. I'm telling you what, many of you have been bowed here on the mourner's bench this week, and that's fine, and you're welcome to use it today, but I'm telling you, bowing your knees on a mourner's bench will not save you. It won't save you. Only coming to God, only truly repenting of one's sins and placing your trust in the Lord will save you. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only thing that will work. Repentance is godly sorrow. I don't believe that David, even with all he had done, I don't believe that he was really sorry for his sin, not properly. I don't believe he was really sorry for his sin until that man of God, Nathan, the prophet, came to him and shared that parable with him about the rich man and the poor man that only had the one little ewe lamb. And even in that, when David heard it, he thought, Nathan was talking about somebody else. He said, well, you know, that man, he ought to be put to death. And I don't believe he really got convicted of his sin until Nathan told him, you're the man. You're the man. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, you're in trouble. And it's you and God. Not somebody else. It's you and God. You are responsible to Him yourself. And I pray today that I'd like for us to have a song. I pray today that God will help you, that He will truly help you. But But you're going to have to be truly sorry that you have offended a holy and a righteous God. So let's stand and sing, "Are you really, truly sorry?" If you are, come to God. Come to Him and repent of your sins. Place your trust in Him and be saved. God help you while we stand and sing.
Number 207, 207.